today as we come to the table.
As you know, less and less homes are moral these days. Now remove the restraining of the Holy Spirit. Now remove the legal aspect of things because there's chaos and the police can't control it. Now make there be a famine and hardly any food around. What do you think people are going to be like? Guys, it's going to be rabid. Civilized Americans will line up outside a Walmart at Christmas and trample each other for a doll. What happens when it's the only food for your family and there's that big line outside? It's going to be devastating.
Have you ever tried to get that one hot item at Christmas time that everyone wanted? You may have waited in line for hours, only to be shoved out of the way and missed the chance to get it. Some people go to extreme lengths for a trivial item that will be forgotten within a matter of days. What if it were a necessity? Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark illustrates what it will be like in the last days after the rapture. The same people that were fighting over the next hot item will be fighting over a necessity. Rest assured, you will not have to experience the world without the restraining of the Holy Spirit. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Revelation chapter 6 with today's edition of Come to the Table.
As we get to chapter 6 in Revelation, we come to the seals. Now remember, you have the seals and you have the trumpets and you have the bowls as you enter into the portion of the Great Tribulation period. The last 7 years on the earth is broken up into two quadrants. The first 3.5 years is a time of peace. Now it's peace, yes, there's no wars, and this world leader, the Antichrist, the Bible actually calls him the beast, but since we know him as the Antichrist, we'll use that. But this beast, this Antichrist, is going to bring in this false peace for 3.5 years. And then the last 3.5 years, we see the seals and the trumpets and the bowls. And these are going to overlap. Now, when you look at the Bible, oftentimes we look at it because of our linear mindset in America and really living in kind of just this, three-dimensional world that we live in. We see everything just kind of here it is in a timeline. But we think in our mind there'd be 7 seals and 7 trumpets and 7 bowls, and they'd follow right along. And for years, I used to think that way. And so when I would read Revelation, I would get confused because I could see that they appeared to overlap. How could they go one and that one start here? And then I realized they do overlap. God actually overlaps the seals and especially the trumpets and the bowls. And so as you're reading through those and you look back, they're actually overlapping. God sees in a multidimensional, not just three, but multidimensional way. And God sees everything, you know, from beginning to end all at once. And so this is how the prophet was writing it as he saw the vision. So don't let that confuse you and don't try to line Revelation up in some chronological order, because especially when it comes to prophecy, lining things up chronologically does not work. You just can't do it. God may start at the very beginning of a sentence and, you know, hear it that where we are now, where the writer was at the time. Then you read the next part of the verse and he goes back 2,000 years. Then you read the last part of the verse and he's 2,000 years ahead. So you can have one verse that's separated in thousands of years right there before you. So don't be confused by that. Try to get God's mindset. And so you might be thinking, well, Mark, then how do I understand prophecy? Honestly, to truly grasp prophecy, I think it takes years of being in the Word and studying it. It's not like it's some intellectual thing. It's just really getting used to it. It's what it is, repetition. And the best way I can describe to you how to do it is in your mind, and maybe even on a piece of paper, if you want to do this at home sometime, kind of lay out the end times process. Maybe draw out, if you will, 7 years on a piece of paper. And as you learn where things go, you plug them into that 7-year period. And they may come some from Isaiah, some from Daniel, some Revelation, some Matthew, and all these things. But as you plug them in the different places, you begin to see, oh, even though it talks about this in Matthew, that's the same thing as talking about in Revelation in this chapter. And oh, even though it mentions this in Daniel, Isaiah mentions that back here. And so you learn to plug it in, and then you see it all begins to find a timeline. There is a timeline to it. But God speaks very non-chronological because he sees everything. So when the prophets write it down, they write it as there's God seeing everything. Our job is to put in the effort to put it in chronological order. And I think that's part of the reward of studying prophecy. But once you do that, everything falls into place beautifully. And it's not that hard to grasp or understand. So now we get into, again, the first seal. We saw the first, really, chapter one kind of covered everything up until the churches. And chapters two and three covered the churches. About 2,000 years of church history. And then we started in chapter 4, and really in chapter 4 all the way to 19 covers the rest of history, which isn't that much. It's a short little blip here at the very end, and it shows you the importance God places on this little blip at the end because he gives us so much detail. You got chapter 1 just describing the fact that Jesus came and died and the world and universe was waiting on him, and he's our Lord now. Chapters 2 and 3, 2,000 years worth of church history, going back 2,000 years ago. And then now, this whatever amount of time is left here at the very end, which is certainly not 2,000 years or even 1,000 years or whatever, a much shorter time, he's packed all this from chapters 4 to 19 with all these beautiful details so we know what's going on. So it shows you the emphasis God puts on and how important it is. And now we're up to the point here in chapter 6 where the first seal is open, Jesus buying back the deed to the earth and basically coming to kick off all the squatters on the earth that have rejected him and are living on his property and rejecting him. The rapture has taken place by now, and God is coming back to kick those off who no longer belong here. He's giving them an opportunity to repent. Some of them will repent. Many of them won't. And so as he begins to open these seals to the deed of the earth to take the earth back, we see him starting this process of removing all the people that have illegally taken up residence on his land while rejecting him. So chapter 6, verse 1. He says, then I saw when the Lamb opened, and by the way, this is the great tribulation time. Sorry to start and back you out. This is the last 3.5 years now we're beginning in. Okay, we've already, in verses 1 through 2 is going to be the first 3.5 years. So we will see the first 3.5 in verses 1 and 2 in the first seal. But then from seal 2 on, you're going to see this is the great tribulation starting with the second seal. He says, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, I heard one of the four living creatures, that is the angels that were around the throne in heaven, saying with a loud voice like thunder, come and see. Now, you know, you read that and you think, wow, it was a loud voice. But the storm we had yesterday, I don't know if it was near your house or not. It must have been right over my house at one point. And it's one of those where the thunder is so loud, it kind of scares a grown man for just a second. You ever been in one of those? Now, my dog and my kids can get scared easy by thunder. We as men and even women, adults, you know, it doesn't scare us. That's thunder. Have you ever had one of those that is so shocking and just out of the blue and is so loud and shakes your house? Kaboom! You've been for a minute, you're like frozen. You're like, wow. One of those happened yesterday. And it seems like every time, or if not every time, a lot of the times when I'm about to teach on something that's in God's word, he lets me kind of get a taste of what it's like. And I was studying this voice of thunder from this angel, and I thought, that must have been what it was like for John. I mean, there John is in heaven, and all of a sudden he's there, and this, come and see, and it's just, whoa, you know. And so John's kind of this whole vision freaking out from all the sights and sounds of heaven. But remember, John's in this earthly body. Now, he's in spirit in the vision. But these bodies and these ears and these eyes and all, we're not prepared for heaven. We couldn't stand heaven. If we were in heaven, we'd evaporate like the mosquito in the blue light on your back porch. God's going to give us a new body with new eyes and new ears and new ability to absorb all the stuff that's going to be happening in heaven. So it's going to be fantastic and amazing, and to be able to see it without glasses and to absorb it all in true HD, heavenly, you know, heaven definition, you know. But this loud thundering voice, you know, come and see, and no, oh, it got his attention. He says, and I looked, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. Now, who do we see here at the first seal? This is where the beast or the Antichrist enters the scene. Now, you might say, but wait a minute, Mark, he's on a white horse. Aren't there good guys on white horses? Growing up in America, when we see the good guy, he's always riding a white horse. And actually, when you see Jesus come back in the second coming, he'll be riding a white horse as well. But remember, Satan is imitating the real thing. Everything that Jesus does, Satan during the Great Tribulation will try to imitate. Even as you have the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, you have the unholy Trinity as well. Satan, the Antichrist or beast, acts like the son of Satan. And then, of course, the false prophet, which will be a worldwide spiritual leader. So we see that pattern all through the scripture, but especially here in Revelation, this imitation by Satan. How do we know this is not the Lord, and how do we know that this is the Antichrist? Well, the Antichrist is going to rule the world. The Bible says he'll come in as with intrigue. The world will be astounded. He's going to come in by peace. He's not going to come in by war. He's going to come in by peace. He will conquer by simply his ability to, you know, schmooze everybody and make them think he's the greatest guy and the greatest thing in the world. And the world's going to follow him unabated. He's going to be smooth. He's going to be sharp. He's going to be smart. He's going to appear to solve the world's problems. And everybody's going to flock to this guy. He will be the savior of the world, small s, if you will. The guy they've all been waiting for. They've rejected Jesus the Christ. Now they have this savior of the world. Jesus called him the prince of the world. And Jesus said, you will receive him. He said, you reject me, but you'll receive this prince. So how else do we know that this is him? So we see him on the white horse. How else do we know? Well, notice that when he comes back, it says he's holding a bow. When Jesus comes back, he conquers, but he's going to be conquering with a sword. That is, it says he speaks and a sword, the word of the Lord, comes out of the mouth and destroys all the armies of the earth. Also, we see with this particular man that he comes back and it talks about him having a crown on his head. He says, behold, the white horse, he sat and had a bow, and a crown was given him. The word here, crown, is Stephanos, which means a reward crown for being a victor. But the crowns that are spoken of when Jesus comes back are different. It says he will have multiple crowns of ruling and reigning. And so, again, we see an imitation here, but we don't see the real deal. And we see the factors that show us the difference, one with a bow, one with a sword, one with a Stephanos, one with these ruling crowns, if you will. So we have two different characters going on here. And again, this fits the perfect description of the Antichrist, the man in white who's finally going to rescue the world from all of their troubles and all of their problems. But then when the second seal is opened, we enter full on into the great tribulation. Notice what it says, verse 3. And when he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, come and see. Again, no doubt with a voice like thunder. And another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth. Note that. And that people should kill one another. And there were given to him, rather was given to him, a great sword. No doubt for this destruction as people were killing each other. And now we come to what is known in the world as the four horses of the apocalypse. You have the white horse. And now we have the red horse. We're going to have two other horses before we're done. This is the second horse of the apocalypse, if you will. And this horse, again, notice, is granted to remove peace from the earth. Now, this is how we know we're now in the Great Tribulation. Because, again, remember, the Great Tribulation is going to be a time of peace. It'll be a temporary peace of 3.5 years, but it's going to be a false peace that's going to pass. But at this point here, when the second seal is broken, this peace is pulled away, and now the earth is in full-on turmoil, and people are killing each other, and as the Bible says, violence will increase in the last days. Now, there is a view you may hear about, and I'll mention it to you. There's another view of, we talked about the pre-trib, mid-trib, and post-trib views of the rapture last week. There's one called pre-wrath, and the pre-wrath view believes that we go through all the seals up until the sixth seal, and then the church is taken out. The problem with that is that the Bible says that the church will never know who the Antichrist is. We're going to be, the Bible says in Thessalonians, that he who restrains will be restraining until he's taken out of the way, and then the Antichrist will be able to come on the scene riding this horse. He'll be able to release these other horses. God will allow them, and all this stuff that'll happen during the Great Tribulation. So it has to be prior to the tribulation beginning. But again, I wanted you to be aware that that view is out there if you hear about it. They say that there'll be peace on the earth basically up until the sixth seal. And then the Great Tribulation will begin. The problem is we see that the peace here with the second seal is already removed. And so there won't be peace on the earth. There's going to be great violence and great murder and people killing each other when this particular horse rides through the earth. The third seal, Verse 5, when he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, come and see. And so I looked, and behold, a black horse. And he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. He's going to be measuring the food and drink on the earth. There's going to be great famines and scarcity. Remember, Jesus said, in the very last days, there'll be great famines. He said, and I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius and three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine. So the luxuries at this point are going to be left alone. The angel won't be destroying the luxuries, but nobody will care about the luxuries. That's probably why they're not going to be destroyed, because he's going to be taking away the food supply of the earth. Now, it's interesting here, a quart of wheat for a denarius. A denarius was a day's wage. And so probably if you took about the average of salaries today, somewhere maybe in the 40,000 range. I know there's some in the 20,000, people all the way down to lower than that, and some up to whatever, the sky being the limit. But if you chose somewhere in the 40s as a mid-range of the wealthy and the not so wealthy, that would mean that enough wheat here to make a small loaf of bread, not a large one, would be about $150. So you see, not only will there be very scarce food resources, but there's also going to be very scarce ability to buy those food resources. Now, can you imagine what it's going to be like on this planet when a small loaf of bread costs $150? I mean, what do you think it's going to be like at the grocery store when there's only a few pieces left? You know, you want to get a picture of what the Great Tribulation is going to be like, and this is why I'm so glad I'm not going to be here. Remember Hurricane Katrina? That's a small snapshot of what's going to be happening worldwide, not in a small area down in Louisiana. The criminals took the streets over. There was one neighborhood trapped in their neighborhood for almost a month with criminals going up and down the streets with their own weapons, breaking into homes and killing people and robbing things. No police around for almost a month. Food in those areas, you better have stored some up. They begin to drop some later, weeks into it. I mean, you saw the chaos that happened down there in Louisiana. Imagine that worldwide. And let me say this too. That was with the restraint of the Holy Spirit at work. New Orleans had the restraint of the Holy Spirit still working in the earth. And you had that chaos down there for about a month. Imagine what it's going to be like worldwide when the restraint of the Holy Spirit is removed, people are free to kill each other how they want, food becomes so scarce, if you can find it, it's about $150 to get a small loaf of bread, it's going to be chaotic. And lest you think that mankind is civilized, you know, we tend to give each other too much credit. I think a lot of times we see these people do these horrendous things and we go, I can't believe they would do that. The truth of the matter is we would all do that without the Lord. We're evil, guys. We are. Deny yourself the word and prayer for a while and watch the old self start rising back up. Mark is there like that. And that's Mark, who was raised in a moral home and is restrained by the holy power of the Holy Spirit in the world. As you know, less and less homes are moral these days. Now remove the restraining of the Holy Spirit. Now remove the legal aspect of things because there's chaos and the police can't control it. Now make there be a famine and hardly any food around. What do you think people are going to be like? Guys, it's going to be rabid. Civilized Americans will line up outside a Walmart at Christmas and trample each other for a doll. What happens when it's the only food for your family and there's that big line outside? It's going to be devastating. And I want to mention this about the restraining, because we talked about the restraining of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, he who restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. The Holy Spirit's going to release, and the Lord's going to release and let these things begin to happen once the church is out of here. But guys, you got to realize, we're the salt of the earth. Did you realize that right now, okay, look at America and all the sins we are guilty of before God. Even recently, some of the things we've done right in God's face, okay? Because of the church, America is now restrained from evil. If America is now under restraint from evil because we are the salt of the earth and the Holy Spirit's at work and we're doing what we're doing now, What's it going to be like when the salt is removed from this big country hand we call the planet? I used to be amazed you could hang a ham out in a barn. You know, as a kid growing up in the country, how do you hang a ham in the barn? It just stays good. And then I tasted it, and it was like, to me, awful. So I was like, you know, I don't like them. Some of you love it. You say, well, I love country ham. I grew up in the South. I'm a Southern boy, but I hate country ham. It's too salty for me, okay? It's too concentrated salt. But it makes a beautiful picture of what's going to happen when we're taken out of here. The world right now is restrained. Okay, listen, a restrained world, and we're killing babies and then taking their body parts and selling them for money. That's restrained. What would it be like if there was no restraint on the abortion community? We have no idea how evil we are. We have no idea how wicked we are without Christ. Jesus said to his disciples, if you then being evil, excuse me, Lord, we're your disciples. I know. If you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your kids, how much more will the Father give to those? Okay, let's get back to the evil thing. Now, none of them did that. But every time I read that, I'm reminded I'm evil. And the only reason I'm not doing evil is because Jesus Christ has come into my life. I'm born again, but the evil mark is still in there. And our definition of evil is very different from God's definition of evil. Any sin is considered wicked and evil in the sight of a holy God. Any sin. Any sin. I just took a piece of bubble gum from my boss's bubble gum bowl at work. It looks so good, nobody will ever know. We smile about that. The Bible says it is wickedness before God. His definition of purity and holiness, we can't even grasp. That is why when I first came to Christ, God showed me just a teeny tiny bit of his purity. It's the first time I learned what the word weeping really meant. I wept at my evil. I had no idea my heart was as black and dark as it was. Listen, even Christians, guys, when we're pushed to the limit, we can be ugly, can't we? Christians can be ugly. Why? Because we have the two natures, the born again saying, don't do that, and the other one going, get him, you know? He deserves it, right? Now take all the people of the earth who don't have the Holy Spirit restraining them. They don't know Christ. They're only in their evil nature. And now everything falls apart. They can't get food. They can't get drink. They can't get water. There's a little bit for everybody. Not everybody has enough. What do you think is going to happen? It's going to be totally chaotic during this. And so with each of these seals, it only increases exponentially. Look at verse 7. And when he opened the fourth seal, I heard a voice of the fourth living creature saying, come and see. And again, that thundering voice. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And the name of him who sat on him was Death. And Hades followed with him. Now death, it's interesting. Death is, it appears in Scripture, it's a thing. I mean, I know we die. But there's something to death that is actually a property. It has some essence, and I don't claim to understand it, but the Scripture speaks of it as though it does. Hades, we know, is that holding tank. Hades is that place where everyone who dies without Jesus, they go to Hades, and they stay there until Judgment Day.
It's always a blessing to have you come to the table of God's Word with us each and every day. Pastor Mark's been going through Revelation, and there's much to gain from this final book of the Bible. Yes, this book details much death, destruction, and judgment. But once the air clears, what's the end result? Jesus is coming back to make all things new, to restore everything that's become corrupted and stained by sin. Isn't that what everyone wants when they think hard about it? If you missed any part of this message or would like to hear this one again, you can always go back and find it at thewaymedia.net. Just click on the Come to the Table tab. Another way to access these messages is by downloading the Way Media app from the Apple App Store or Google Play Store. By doing this, you'll be able to take these teachings with you wherever you go. That way, you can stay up on these Revelation messages no matter where you are in the world. Are you interested in getting in touch with us? If so, we have just the thing. Our number is 865-609-1385. If you're trying to remember that number, we have it for you again. It's 865-609-1385. Feel free to call us with questions or even ask for prayer. We value connecting with our listeners and hearing how God is interceding in their lives through these messages. Through prayer, and through God's Word and His people. Please come back for another edition where Pastor Mark will continue his teaching in Revelation here on Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.